central message in the parable of the sower is that your heart's response determines the fate of the seed of the word of God as it is sown in your heart. So we have a parable where the ground, the soil, is likened to the human heart, and that the seed being sown is the word of God. And then the way you respond in your heart to that word is directly linked to the impact it will have on your life. That's where the focus of the parable shines down into your heart. Because you may have noticed in the reading, the seed that was scattered was the same seed wherever it fell, but the effect greatly differed. The issue was not the seed, but the responses to that seed, the different grounds in which the seed of the word of God was sown. And so the parable of the sower is largely composed of four different responses. Now, a sower wants all the seed to bring forth fruit, but not all of the seed did bring forth fruit. And so the Lord Jesus Christ speaks very directly to our hearts this morning. Will his word this morning take root in your heart and bring forth fruit? Or will it be snatched away? So this morning we're going to take up the first of the four kinds of soil. The soil of the wayside or the footpath, which represents the hard heart. Look at Luke chapter 8 and verse 5. Jesus said, "A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, like a footpath, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it." The birds of the air ate it. Now we're familiar with that picture. A footpath across a field, the sort of footpath that's not tarmac or concrete, but hard-packed soil where people have trodden down the earth and formed a footpath across a field. And here, as the farmer was sowing his seed, some seed fell on a footpath. And because on the footpath the soil was tightly packed down, was hard, the seed remained on the surface of the ground. The birds noticed the seed lying on the tightly packed soil. So the birds came, swooped down, pecked at the seed and ate it, snatched it away. The farmer sowed his seed, but the birds had a meal at the expense of the farmer. It may even have been something that was happening nearby as Jesus was preaching. A sower went out to sow his seed, and Jesus may have pointed to a nearby field. There may have been a sower scattering seed, and the people could see the parable being enacted before their very eyes as some of the seed fell on a footpath and the birds came and snatched it away. Now Luke tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ later explained the parable very clearly. Luke chapter 8 verse 12. "Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved." So the Lord Jesus Christ gives his own explanation. He says, the wayside soil is a picture of the hard heart. Here's someone who hears the word of God, but does not believe it. And then the devil, the great adversary of the human soul, comes and snatches away the word from the heart. So the wayside soil is a picture of a person. The word of God has been sown. A person has heard of God's mercy to rebel sinners in the person and work of his son, Jesus Christ. Someone has heard the word of the kingdom, that the offended God has beaten a path in his own sovereign initiative. In grace, he reaches out to sinful men and women like you and me this morning. Someone hears the call to repent and believe on Jesus Christ, the wonderful proclamation of the blessings of salvation found only in Jesus Christ. That if you trust in Jesus, you can be reconciled to God and adopted into his family. That Jesus makes peace through the blood of his cross and offers a free justification, a right standing before God, where you would be counted not guilty at the tribunal of God if you trust in Jesus Christ. Jesus offers forgiveness and pardon and peace and new life, a life of righteousness and evangelical law-keeping. A person hears those things, but hearing them, it's as if the person has never heard them. He or she doesn't understand them. There seems to be no suitability in the message to that person's state and condition of heart. So if someone to speak about how to make easy money, you might be all ears. If someone to speak to you and say they've just started and found a new hobby, you'd be all ears. But someone speaks about Jesus, speaks about the kingdom of God, speaks about sin and repentance and faith and salvation and a life of holiness, speaks in a clear way, speaks even with authority, with passion. What happens? You say, it's not for me. I don't understand it. Now, it's not that the preacher has used very technical, high-flown words. It's not that the preacher has made the gospel so philosophical that only a high-flying intellectual can understand it. The preacher has tried to explain it in simple, clear ways, using illustrations, explaining, applying. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So the natural man or woman doesn't see the suitability of the word of God. Doesn't see that in every dimension of that word, there's something perfectly suited to his or her need as a sinner before God. So the attitude is, there's nothing in that for me. The heart is like the soil of a hard wayside footpath. And Luke describes Satan's activity using this picture of birds swooping down, snatching the seed away. And as in the realm of nature, so it is in the realm of grace. The seed on the soil of the heart, snatched away by the birds. The devil, says Jesus, snatches away the word of God from hard hearts so that people do not believe. Don't receive the message. Don't reflect on the message. Don't meditate on the message. Don't plead with God that the message will take root in their hearts. No, the devil, the great enemy of the soul, comes and snatches away the seed. So according to Jesus, there is a present and powerful activity of the devil in doing all he can to stop people believing the truth of the word of God and being saved. It's one of the reasons why on a Monday evening in the Zoom prayer meeting, on a Thursday here in the church prayer meeting, we need to come together and pray, because sowing the seed of the word of God is not just a game. It's a battle, a spiritual battle that we're engaged in. The devil is at work. He distracts people. He whispers all sorts of things into their ears. He diverts people's attention. Fosters a critical spirit that says, until I can figure everything out, I can't believe it. The devil is at work, says Jesus, snatching away the seed of the word of God, which is why the people of God need to pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit, God will work. But the devil wants to damn you. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of your heart, lest you should believe and be saved. So the first thing we need to get to grips with in this parable of Jesus, remember it's Jesus, the Son of God, who's speaking, is the activity of the devil. That's a frightening truth, but it's here in the Bible, I must preach it, that the Son of God teaches there is a present powerful activity of the devil in trying to stop a saving reception of the word of God. And you see, that's the teaching of the Bible everywhere. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. That's the activity of the devil. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4, our gospel is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this world has blinded, who do not believe. 2 Timothy 2, verse 26, Paul speaks about the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. So you may not take the devil seriously this morning, but the devil takes you seriously. He wants to stop you believing the gospel, to stop you receiving the word of God, to stop you believing and being saved. And if you are not saved, says the Bible, then what are you? You are lost. That's the devil's determination, that you end up in hell. If the devil can drag you to hell with him, that's part of his defiance of God. So every preacher knows this. In preaching the word of God, it's not just grappling with minds that may, for example, have issues, ill health. You may have been kept awake by a crying child last night. You may have some pressing, some legitimate concern. But more than that, every preacher knows that there is this spiritual warfare, the devil, the powers of darkness, the forces of darkness. And the devil will introduce all sorts of things into people's minds. What's this preacher talking about? Why doesn't the preacher just finish and we can go home and watch TV? Where do thoughts like that come from? Someone who snatches away the seed of the word of God. Where someone might be thinking, where do I stand before God? The God who made me. The God who will judge me. Satan has been very clever in the Western world at pulling the wool over people's eyes to imagine there is no future judgment. The God who sent his son into the world to save sinners. Where do you stand in relationship to Jesus, to the righteousness of Jesus, to the grace and claims of Jesus? Have you been cleansed from your sins? There are many things that should fill our minds. But the devil comes, you see. Why do we find it hard to hear the word of God? Why is it that our minds are taken off here, there, and everywhere? There is this powerful activity of the devil, says Jesus. So it's not just me, the preacher. It's Jesus who says, the devil will stop you, if he can, from savingly receiving the word of God. J.C. Ryle, in his own inimitable way, said this: perhaps nowhere is the devil more active than in a congregation of Christians under the preaching of the word of God. Where is the devil most active this morning? J.C. Ryle says, in a congregation of Christians under the preaching of the word of God, because he'll want to snatch away the seed of that word of God as it's sown. So we must plead with God when we come to hear his word on a Sunday morning, on a Sunday evening, that God will restrain the powers of darkness and give hearts this to become good soil. There are many strategies, at least three, which Satan uses to take away the seed of the word of God. Inattention. Satan works overtime to stop people giving serious attention to the word of God. He may keep you up late on a Saturday night so you can't give your best attention to a sermon on a Sunday. He may put a dozen different distractions to take your mind away from the message of the word of God. Send all sorts into your mind about what you need to do later on today or tomorrow. If Satan can, he will distract you so that the preacher's words will go in one ear and out the other, and Satan will be successful in snatching away the word of God, making it ineffective. So there's inattention. Satan also uses ill will. Sometimes there are feelings against the preacher, or feelings against the truths of the gospel. That's a big issue in our society at the moment. The gospel speaks about one God, one Saviour, one way of salvation. Oh, say so many. No, we can't have that. So you may understand what's being said, but you may despise it. The gospel is foolishness to those who are perishing. Also, Satan works by giving people a very high estimation of themselves, so that the evangelical message of brokenness before the cross because of our sin sounds disgusting, threatening. Satan will snatch the seed of the word of God away if he can. And Satan also uses ignorance. When the glory of God is described, Satan blinds the mind. So you wonder, what's going on? Spiritual people are being affected by the word of God, but it has no effect. Two people are in a service, they hear the same word. One is thrilled and delighted and responds, and the other is hard and indifferent and goes away as if they haven't heard a word. Thus Satan takes away, if he can, the word of God. So Jesus speaks about the activity of the devil. Secondly, the hardness of the human heart. That's a second obvious application of the parable. A hard heart, a hard, unplowed heart, will never understand and receive the message of salvation. So in the message that Jesus spoke in the parable, the field that he spoke about, the plough had cut through and crisscrossed that field, but it had not cut through the footpath, where the soil was hard and packed and trodden down. There was a particular path that people used to cross that field, and the farmer had never used his ox to pull the plough and break up that footpath. And then over the years, the soil becomes more and more tightly packed. It's the hard, unploughed heart that will not receive the word of salvation. The seed was good, but the soil in the footpath was so hard, nothing could grow on it. And the birds came and ate it all. What cuts up the hard heart to receive God's word? Well, the plough of God's holy law, which cuts into the heart by the power of the Holy Spirit. That plough of the holy law of God must crisscross the heart, turn it over, so that it's prepared to receive the seed of the word of God. What did Jesus do as he preached? As he talked to people whose hearts were hard, who had been trodden down by a religious mentality that said, all that God is concerned about is the outward. If you're in the right place, at the right time, saying the right things, in the company of the right people, all is well. It's all outward. But what about the heart? The heart's reception of the seed of the word of God. So what did Jesus do? He took the plough of God's holy law and he cut into the heart. He said, you've heard it was said, but I say to you, you may have heard it said, but here's the real meaning of the law. You may never have laid hands with violence upon someone. You may not have committed actual murder. You may not have stabbed someone with a knife. You've never been before court for assault. But we've all had anger burning in the heart. In your heart, we've all committed many murders. And the plough cuts into the heart. You may not have sneaked off to a place where you'd arranged to meet another man's wife. But you've looked at a woman as she's walked past you, and you've thought to yourself, and in your heart, and the plough cuts into the heart again. So you see what Jesus was doing. Hearts were ploughed up by the holy law of God and were made ready for the message of salvation. And this morning you may I've never thought about God's righteous standards in his Ten Commandments. Or you may have heard of the Ten Commandments, but you resist those standards. Perhaps you're rejecting God's grace and love and mercy. You're turning away from the pardon and forgiveness and everlasting life that's found in Jesus Christ because you see no need in your hard heart for a saviour. Ah, but when God gives you a sight of your sinfulness, then you cry to God. You cry to God to give you a new heart. When that plough cuts into the heart then gives a serious thought of Jesus and the cross and sin and salvation. It's the hard and ploughed heart that doesn't savingly understand or receive the word of God. So there's the activity of the devil, there's the blindness of the human heart. Then thirdly, there's the sowing of the gospel message. There's a wonderful picture in this parable of the way the gospel is freely offered to all. And if you're a Christian this morning, here's a warrant for you for abundant sowing of gospel seed. You see, as the sower went out to sow his seed, he wasn't so fastidious that he realized there was some seed that would be lost as he was sowing. He was throwing the seed in such an indiscriminate way. Yes, some fell on the footpath. It's a picture of God's command in Christ to preach the message of the gospel to the whole world. So if you're a Christian this morning, sow gospel seed where you can. Even when you feel it might look like hard soil. Don't be discouraged. We're using YouTube. Why are we doing that? Facebook. Twitter, all sorts of things, sowing gospel seed. I'm going to talk tomorrow to some gospel ministers about this new venture called Global Rise I mentioned a week or two ago. Well, we're going to try to reach out to people who've been listening in to gospel messages. Why do we do that? Why do we have a church website? Why are people concerned to give out tracts in the area, give out invitations to people to hear the message? It's sowing the seed of the word of God. We're scattering it. Now there are those whose hearts will be like the footpath. Those who won't receive it. Those who say, don't bother me. I don't want to hear this. I've got more important things to think about. And the sower's heart may be grieved. And when your heart is grieved, you may be tempted to give up sowing. This parable is saying to you, don't stop. Keep sowing. In due season we shall reap, if we do not lose heart. In the most unlikely places, God finds good soil. You keep sowing the seed. That's my task, that's your task. Some seed fell on good ground. My friend Mike Searle in Sheffield, those words keep reverberating in my mind as I'm reading Luke chapter 8. Some seed fell on good ground. And the Son of God knew among that crowd. Yes, there were some whose hearts were hard. He wasn't unrealistic. He knew some hearts were hard. But he preached to all the people. He kept sowing the seed. And we must do the same. There's the activity of the devil. There's the hardness of the human heart. There's the sowing of the gospel message. And then fourthly, there's the message of the kingdom. The message of the kingdom in this parable is very clear. You must receive the message of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ into your heart if you're going to be saved. In this parable, if the seed is the word of God, the message of the kingdom, the wayside soil, the footpath, never received the seed. The hardness of the heart caused a rejection of the word. So Jesus is telling you this morning in the plainest possible terms, if you're going to be saved, if you're going to be forgiven before God, if you're going to be brought into the family of God, you must receive the message of the gospel. Receive it not just outwardly, but in your heart. A heart's response. If you do not, what will happen? If you do not, the devil will come and snatch away the message of the gospel. There must be this work of illumination by the Holy Spirit in the mind and heart, that the message of the gospel will be understood and received in the heart. Do you believe this morning the message of the gospel? That word of God about Jesus Christ as his glorious Savior is revealed to us in the word of God. God and man. The God-man, Jesus Christ. His life of perfect obedience. Read any of the gospel accounts. Read the life of Jesus. What do you see there? You see a life of sinlessness, perfect obedience, holiness. If the wages of sin is death, and Jesus was sinless, why did he die? He dies a substitutionary death. On the cross, as our sin bearer, as our substitute. He dies for our sins at the cross. Read of his mighty resurrection from the dead. It was impossible for the grave to hold him. The Prince of Life conquered death. Read of his coronation at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. All authority is now given to Jesus in heaven and on earth. And he's poured out the Holy Spirit. In the message of the gospel, God makes provision for you. For you, personally, individually. Until you receive that message of the gospel in your heart, your heart becoming receptive soil, receiving, believing, understanding, responding to it. You'll never know God's salvation until the word has been received in that way, not just outwardly, but in the heart. When the Apostle Paul was commissioned by the risen Lord Jesus Christ to spread gospel, the gospel message far and as wide as he could, this principle was emphasized to the Apostle Paul. Listen to Acts chapter 26 and verses 16 to 18. Acts 26, verse 16. The Lord Jesus says to the Apostle Paul, "Rise, stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you." What will you do? What will happen as Paul is sent now to make the gospel message known far and wide? To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance amongst those who are sanctified by faith in me. The first step, you notice, to open their eyes, to give them an understanding that the gospel message is not the message of some fool fanatic. When a preacher says that all have sinned, that all have fallen short of God's standards and are under God's wrath, but those sinners, God in his mercy has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, into this world, and that in the person and work of Jesus Christ there is forgiveness for all sin. There is power to forgive the worst sins. There is power to break the worst patterns of life. There is eternal life for all who will believe. When the Holy Spirit opens your spiritual eyes, the preacher's message doesn't sound anymore like a fool fanatic, someone out of touch with reality. That message then becomes good news. When the spiritual eyes are opened, people see in Jesus the only way of forgiveness and deliverance and peace with God. And they respond to the message. They trust in Jesus with the whole heart. And when that happens, the gospel seed of the word of God is not falling on a hard footpath. It's received into the heart, a receptive heart. And Luke speaks of it bringing forth fruit even to 100-fold. Now we understand that men and women understand the message by the spiritual illumination of the Holy Spirit. That says a lot to us. If you're a Christian this morning, seeking to sow the gospel message into the hearts of men and women around, parents to children, loved ones to relatives, friends to neighbours, workers to colleagues. I'm a preacher. Every preacher is sowing gospel seed. Every time a preacher stands into a pulpit and opens the word of God and preaches that word in sincerity and truth. But we are aware as we do that, if God does not open people's eyes, the most fervent, earnest, clear preaching is like seed on a footpath. Not worth a second thought. Which is why then we must be wise. We can't browbeat people into the kingdom of God. It's unwise to try and push people into the kingdom of God through our carnal self-efforts. Don't be over the top. One of the most humbling realities in sowing the seed of the gospel is to realize you can explain the gospel to someone as clearly as anyone possibly could. But unless God is at work, that person may not give it a second thought. And you're not going to be able to push them into the kingdom of God. Because you can't give someone, I can't give someone, spiritual eyes to spiritually see. I can't give someone a spiritual mind to understand, a heart that will receive the word of God. But we can cry to God that by the work of the Holy Spirit, God will work. That someone will see their human beings are made in the image of God and are answerable to God. And are under God's righteous wrath, because we all fall short of God's glory and we break God's standards, hanging by a thread of unrivaled sovereignty from judgment. And yet, as we explain the gospel, some go home, put on the TV, listen to the radio, go onto the internet. Don't give spiritual things a second thought. Now, we can't then push people into the kingdom of God. But we can cry out to God that through the work of the Holy Spirit, people will not be comfortable and blasé and laid back about their standing before God. We know there are many in our society who say, well, that's where we are. I'm not interested in spiritual things. I'm not interested in the gospel. I'm not interested in the Bible. I'm not interested in Jesus. And that deluded comfort puts people in danger before God. If that's you this morning, that puts you in danger before God. Ask God to show you your true condition. Ask God to show you what the gospel really means. Ask God to move you, to give you eyes to see that you do need forgiveness and you do need pardon and you do need peace, and the only way of salvation is found in Jesus Christ alone. So may God grant this morning the wayside soil, that hard heart, will not be a description of your heart. By God's grace, we're praying this morning that your heart will be good soil. That by the work of the Spirit, you'll have understanding and you'll receive the word of God. And that word will bring forth fruit in your life, even to 100-fold. The evangelical fruit of repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, even unto everlasting life. Oh, may God work by his word and Spirit this morning. And all the glory is his. We look to God to bless his word. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you this morning for that mighty seed of your word, which when planted and received into the heart, which is good soil, brings forth fruit 100-fold. Oh, we pray it may even be so this morning. We pray against all the activity of the devil, who would want to snatch away the seed of the word of God. Prevent it, Lord. Oh, prevent it by your grace. And bring forth fruit in hearts that are good soil. Here this morning, as this message is spread out over you too. And as we seek this week ahead to make the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ known, as we sow that gospel seed, Lord, let none be discouraged. No, we keep sowing, knowing that in due time we will reap if we do not give up. And Lord, we pray then for that powerful accompanying work of the Holy Spirit, that in many hearts you will work to the glory and honour and praise of Jesus Christ, our risen, mighty Saviour, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Our last hymn is also a prayer that the Holy Spirit will work in the heart and make it receptive to the Word of God, even as we pray for ourselves this morning, that God will make our hearts good soil to receive His Word. Holy Spirit, living breath of God. We'll stay sitting.
Holy Spirit.
Let's come to God then, let's pray together. Indeed, Lord, as we come before you at the close of this service, we pray for that work of the Holy Spirit that will make the Word of God come alive in our hearts and lives and bring forth fruit. May your Word, by the work of the Spirit, come alive in every heart. And, O Lord, we pray against all that activity of the devil who would seek to snatch the seed of that Word away. We look to you, mighty, risen Saviour, Jesus Christ, that you will work in our hearts to your glory. Bring salvation to the lost. Bring restoration to the backslider. Bring strength and comfort and hope to every believer. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with each one of us and all God's people, both today and even forevermore. Amen.